Well, immediately after recording the latest episode of Business Jazz, the podcast, I asked Roger Overall how it went this week. Roger, how do you feel the podcast went? The very first one of 2013. How was it for you?
Yes, well, we brought religion into it. Maybe we shouldn't have done that. Oh, dear. I thought we were rusty. I thought we were not particularly inspired. Well, you were. You were always very good. You draw upon literature very easily, which is great. So it lifts the whole podcast. But nevertheless, we were coated in a layer of dust, and we.
So it was very ropey this week, is what you're saying, really. It was a very rusty start to the year.
It was a very rusty start to the year. And
it was very flabby and kind of.
Is
that what you're saying?
It didn't sparkle. I think it didn't sparkle. It's, and then I got myself down a dead end. Well, it should have been a dead end. It should have been a dead end before I even started down it, where we started talking about Jesus. I think that's a bad idea. There are people out there who are going to take exception to it.
Do you think we'll lose half of our audience?
I think we'll lose some.
Yeah. And do you think that's a bad thing?
No, not really.
I mean, you could blame me. I mean, it was all my fault, really.
I could have stopped you know, the recording.
Yeah, we could have instead. And there we were.
I was fascinated to find out where you were going with it.
I mean, we were talking about Calvary, and I mean, you know.
Well, you were very respectful. I was the one who mentioned that Jesus. Oh, I'm not going to do it in this podcast.
If
you want to know, this is how you.
Yeah, you have to listen to the real thing.
But
actually, what you're saying is that you know, it is a bit uncomfortable when you, when religion comes in, or when religious stories and metaphors come in to a public podcast. Is that right?
I think. See, and this is interesting. This is interesting, because yes, you're right. As soon as you say something that has a religious connotation, immediately in my head, alarm bells go off, and they go off not because I'm being disrespectful, although maybe the phrasing of it may have been, but not that I intend to be disrespectful, but it's more that I realise, these days, it is a very difficult topic. It's almost as if we're travelling back in time now, where you used to be able to question certain aspects of the church and certain aspects of religion. But certainly if you think of where our audience lives, which is in the US...
And in Cork, we do have some listeners here in Cork as well.
Let me qualify that.
And I know McColgan is over there in Scotland, and he...
A large share of our audience lives in the US.
Yeah.
I have experience of one of the more conservative areas of the US, Texas. And so what I said in the podcast, which in many countries would be completely acceptable, is borderline in these areas. So I'm very aware of that. And I'm very aware that you cannot question God and religion and Jesus.
But we didn't. We didn't question people's dearly held beliefs. We didn't question any of those. All we did was actually refer to the story.
Well, we did, but then I suggested that there is... listen to the podcast.
Okay.
But it does raise the issue, can you talk about these things?
Yeah, so it's interesting.
First of all, starting to stumble in your own mind where you're saying, well, I want to say this, but actually, should I, can I, et cetera, then suddenly the shutters come down and you start faltering. That's one thing. And then the other thing is, well, goodness me, I mean, where are we going where you can't now start questioning these things anymore?
And all that stuff went on in your head during the podcast?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. I had a much simpler time. I mean, I basically said, okay, look, I said that 2013 was going to be a year of taking some risks, right? This is a risk worth taking. Let's go up this hill. And see where it leads, right?
Coming back to the question you just asked, is it a good thing if we lose listeners over this? Well, maybe it is. Maybe people will realise this isn't the programme for them. This isn't the, you know, we're not the people for them. Or, I mean, there's you've heard of Howard Stern, the shock jock in the US. I remember seeing a film about his life and the top brass at the radio station having a meeting, and they're debating whether or not they should fire him. And one of the conversation points is listenership, and that people who like him listen to him for, say, we'll say an hour, and that people who don't like him listen to him for 2 hours. So irrespective of the fact that they were getting, this radio station was getting all these complaints about him, it was actually better to keep him on the air upsetting people. Not that I intentionally want to upset people, but, you know. And that's the thing. You suddenly start talking about something, you don't want to upset people, and you realise that just the faintest nuance will upset people when it comes to religion. I mean, people just get quite worked up about it.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I only know about my own views on these things, so I have to say that I have not been in the United States recently. But I do think that it was quite interesting in the middle of the podcast to be able to, I don't know, jump to the story that we focused on. And it certainly, for me, it had me puzzled in the middle of the podcast about, well, all the stuff that had happened before that point. I thought, this has all led to this particular point in the conversation where things are now a bit hairy, right?
And there is a podcast, I am convinced. There is a podcast. There is a business, a hard-nosed business podcast that could be done based on the life of Jesus. I'm convinced there are massive business learnings. Huge. But you'd be a very brave person to undertake that, because somebody's going to take offence, and when it comes to religion, if people start taking offence, people die. That's the end. I mean, that is, in essence, what it boils down to. So it's a terrifying area. So there's all this fantastic learning that you could be talking about in a podcast. But
I think that's very difficult to get my head around in theory. I would find it quite interesting in practice. There's a great book called Shakespeare on Management.
Yeah.
So if you take William Shakespeare, had a whole load of ideas, wrote a whole load of plays, and somebody has written a book called Shakespeare on Management, and it's the application of the thoughts and ideas that Shakespeare expressed in his plays to modern business. Now, one of the absolutely incontrovertible things is that the life of Jesus of Nazareth has remained alive for a long time. It has engaged huge tranches of the world. I mean, it would be difficult to argue that it hasn't reached almost everywhere. And you know, there's got to be a reason why all the stories connected to Jesus of Nazareth have remained current. Current in terms of adherence, current in terms of controversy. So there is something about those stories being an incredibly powerful metaphor. At the very least, they're a metaphor which help people to make sense of their own lives.
I think so, and I think also, I mean, if you were to bring it back to business, and there is now a very strong sense in business, in certain business thinkers, business leaders, Chris Brogan, for instance, of this idea of giving, doing things for free, helping people before you expect to be helped yourself.
Service leader. The idea of being a service leader.
So. So what was Jesus if not preaching service leadership? You know, do unto others. Da, da, da. But he was very much somebody who, if the stories about him are to be believed, and the way he was written about is to be believed, very much a man who said, look, you know, if you go around in the world doing good, being kind, showing people kindness, it will come back to you in quite remarkable ways.
Well, the other side to that, though, is that I think we could have a very long discussion about this, because I immediately think of how tough he was. I mean, at a very young age, he goes into the temple and he throws a whole load of people out who are conducting what we presume was their lawful business, right? And he actually takes a very strong moral stance against the status quo. So he absolutely gets up the back of the rulers of the society at the time. And in that sense, he's very far from a goody-good going round the place being nice to everybody. And you see how we could now spend the next 3 hours, right, on this topic. So, did we drop a boo-boo today by bringing up this topic into the podcast? Your considered final view, do you have serious regrets?
That's a good question. Look,
you can sit on the fence.
No, I won't sit on the fence. Because I can go and give a nuanced answer to that. I think it should be possible. I think it should be allowed. I think that anything that challenges religion is a good thing. I think from that point of view, absolutely. It's just, I know from experience how easy it is to upset people in a podcast.
We'd have to avoid discussing politics as well, actually. It's very easy to upset people about politics. So we'd rule out all of the things, you know.
All the things that give colour to life.
Is the only thing that you can't upset people about is business. Is that, as you stick to business, you can't upset anyone. Is that right?
But here's the thing. I mean, upsetting somebody over politics is one thing. But upsetting somebody over religion. See, religion is very, 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 can be very dangerous. I mean, I know you're going to say politics can be as well. But you know, if I say David Cameron, the British Prime Minister, is a complete idiot,
then that's a very unkind thing to say.
It is a very unkind. This is an example. I may not even believe that.
Yeah. But even if it was true, it would be unkind.
Absolutely. But you know, people will take. If I were to say the same about Jesus Christ, I'd be in big trouble. I'd be in huge trouble.
I think you're right.
You know, you can't. So there is there is.
So because that would be, you would be lacking in respect, really, for somebody who's held in very high reverence by others, and it would be an unkind thing to say anyway. And I also think you should get in trouble if you refer to David Cameron in the way you didn't refer to him as. By the way, I think it would be very unkind. Okay, any other aspect of the podcast?
Well, we've discussed it. We're a bit rusty and flat, weren't we? So that's really it.
Right. Well, I must say... hopefully this little review will be included alongside... In fact, this review will hit the streets before the podcast itself hits the streets. Do you think that's a good idea, by the way, to do the review before people actually... To publish the review before people can actually hear the podcast itself?
I do. I think it's a genius marketing technique that you've hit upon. Simply because imagine if you had a movie, if there was a film, and you had the makers of the film honestly sitting down and going, well, in that scene, that actor was... I think it was holding back, and I'm not sure that worked. And do you know, now that we've actually produced the film and it's ready to go and it's going to premiere on Wednesday, that particular plot point just doesn't work for me. You know, I think that would be quite interesting.
Do you think more people would go to see the film if they heard the director of The Hobbit saying, for example, you know, we edited that badly, actually. I'd like to re-edit it to take out all that violence.
Oh, it'd probably be commercial disaster. Suicide. it would be interesting, though. It would be interesting to sit down with Peter Jackson now and say, look, to be honest with you, come on, be honest. It's a bit long, isn't it, this film? And how are you going to squeeze another two films out of the material from the book? It's a small book.
They've made the films already, have they? Have they made The Hobbit already?
They've done the live action filming bits, and then I'm sure it takes years to do the special effects. But yes, they've done the filming. All the actors can go. They've gone home. They've been home for ages now.
Have you read The Hobbit yourself?
I did.
And can you remember where you read it first?
No, I have no idea. I can remember very little about it. There was a dragon protected by gold and diamonds on his chest. There was a fire. There was a village. And that's about as much as I remember. I'd even forgotten that this is where the actual ring from The Lord of the Rings comes from.
I was climbing up the side of a mountain in Bergen in 1970 on my way to the youth hostel, and the youth hostel in Bergen is in the most in Norway is in the most extraordinary position. You can see right out over the fjords. It's fantastic, and the weather was very benign and everything like that. And I actually read the book as I climbed up that hill to get there, and that was where I first came across. I was aware that the Lord of the Rings book was very thick, and I couldn't be traveling around reading a book that thick. And in fact, to this day, I've never read Lord of the Rings.
That's what a remarkable setting to be reading that book. I have read the Lord of the Rings, and again, I remember very little about it. And of course, now you get into the world where the visualization of the films is almost stronger in my memory than actually having read the book. I have one image from the book that is so beautifully described that Peter Jackson, of the Lord of the Rings, that it's so beautifully described that Peter Jackson couldn't improve upon it. He couldn't change it. He couldn't do it. He put on the cinema screen almost exactly what I saw in my mind when I read it, because it was so beautifully and powerfully descriptive. He had no choice but to film it that way. But I remember very little about the actual books themselves, other than that one visual. And it's the moment...
I once shared a flat with a guy whose name is Jim Murray. He'll never listen to this audio, so it's no harm mentioning him. And he had read Lord of the Rings 26 times, the whole book.
I don't know what to say to that. As a true fan, as a true devotee. Well, he has managed to create this following, to draw people into this rich, rich world that he's created, Tolkien, and very loyal following as well. And it endures, and it's quite a remarkable achievement to invent languages and cultures, and I don't think anybody's managed to do anything quite... I know there's the guy who does the Game of Thrones, which is very deep and very rich as well, but it doesn't have anywhere near, as far as I understand, the language... creation of new languages. Star Trek created a language, of course.
Now, are you a bit distracted now from the earlier discomfort? Are you feeling a little bit better now about...
No, because I have a reputation for putting my foot in it and speaking my mind when I shouldn't, so I've probably only made it worse.
Well, I tell you what we'll just have to do. We'll have to let the listeners judge for themselves, right?
Yes, we will.
And they can always let us know. They can always drop us comments on Twitter or on Audioboo or any other platform they care to use to say what they think of the Business Jazz podcast.
They can. And actually, here's our commitment to anybody listening to this who's bothered to listen to the actual podcast and all the way through this follow-up podcast, is if we notice any distinct trends in our stats relating to say, the US, or we'll let you know. If we lose half our listeners, we'll be honest and say we've lost half our listeners.
Well, there's one thing about this is we don't charge anyone to listen to Business Jazz, right? So we're doing it for free, right? We're actually giving the podcast away. So, you know, if we were charging people money for it and they had signed up to a paying subscription, right, and we did a podcast like we did this morning, they might be cancelling their subscription, right? And we might be having to give them their money back.
No, never give money. No, that's not true. That's a good point, but people would pay money based on an understanding of what you're going to be doing, and we haven't even defined what we're doing yet. So actually, we could get away with it. We'd be saying to people, listen to this podcast. We're not quite sure where it's going or what we're going to say. It's called Business Jazz. We chose the name Jazz specifically because we don't know what we're doing and where it's going and how the conversation might evolve. So therefore, it may well go in directions you don't want it to.
Look, it's very simple. The podcast is all about how to be genuinely, and that means, you know, saying things that are real, right? Saying things that come from the inside and are genuine, attractive, right? In business today, right? So what we did, hopefully, will be help people think about how they can become genuinely attractive.
And actually...
Yes, 16 seconds.
16 seconds. Chris talks about failure. So maybe it was a failure that happened today, and maybe we'll learn from it. Or maybe it was a success. We'll find out.
Thank you, Roger.